Our Father, we come to you tonight, and we just want to be before you in a way that you can say what you want to say. Not even to say what you want to say, but you can impress upon us what you want to impress upon us in the way that we can understand and be drawn to you because of it. We don't want to be those who are far off. We want to be those that come close because of what you've done for us. And so, Lord, we're asking tonight that you would reach out to us and in your grace and speak to us in this way. And we're asking it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Have you considered Jesus Christ? Have you thought about him? Have, in your reading of the Word, we, I think, sometimes just go over things because we know them and we haven't thought about what they're meaning. We haven't thought or given thought to what it is that God is trying to show us, what he is trying to proclaim to us through his Son. Have you ever thought about that? Or do we do it? We just kind of look through the Word, and as we're looking through it, we say, yes, I've read this before. Yes, I know this about him. Oh, yes, we studied that in Sunday school. I remember that. Or have you ever been reading and all of a sudden something about him, something that is told about him, all of a sudden just pops out at you and grabs you and says, look at me. Look at me for who I am. Have you considered Jesus Christ? The God-man. Not just a man who walked the earth. Not just a good teacher. Not just someone who studied the Torah and the Talmud and had some kind of message that just said, be good to one another. Treat each other right. But have you considered him as the God-man, the one who came from God, who is God himself? And step down into earth that we might see him as who he is, as the Almighty God, as the exact representation of the God with whom we and the world has to do? Have you considered that when you thought of him? Have you considered that when he was born in a manger? Not in a kingly palace. Not, he didn't have people trumpeting his arrival. No one. It was almost in secret that he didn't even have a place to stay. But instead, he came lowly to a manger. No fanfare except in the heavens. The heavens couldn't hold their joy from it. And shepherds only saw him and saw what they heard, what these angels said, and said, come and see what God has done. Have you considered him? Have you thought about him in this way? As being the high and holy God coming down to be so vulnerable as a little child and place himself in the hands of a woman and a man, and to be raised by them. And not only that, but being raised by them, he submitted to them. The very God-man who sat and didn't say, Do you know who I am? You should be bowing down to me. But here he was, going down to them, submitting to them. Have you considered that? That even when he was in the temple, like we brought up the other day, even when he was in the temple with the teachers, and he was discussing things with them, and they were saying, boy, this is a bright young lad. And his parents came in and said, where have you been? That he didn't chide them, he didn't say, don't you know who I am? He just said quietly, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? And then he went home with them. And for the next 18 years, you saw nothing of him. You heard nothing of him. It was as if he disappeared. But in those 18 years, what was he doing? He was living as a man, as you and I. Nothing higher than that. Here this God-man had humbled himself to come into this world as he did, and then to be ignominious. Nobody knew him. Oh yeah, the people around in the town knew him. He was a carpenter's son. Have you considered him who hid himself like that for 18 years? That when he turned 30, he could come and appear on the scene and come not and say, here I am, but who came humbly to be baptized. Here as John the Baptist was going out and preaching, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, we found this man, the God-man, the very God-man, coming like a sinner. Coming to this man who was baptizing sinners, and they were confessing his sins. Here comes this man, this perfect man, who came to the water and said, baptize me, John. And John said to him, what are you doing here? I can't baptize you. I know who you are. And yet this God-man said to him, permit it, that all righteousness might be fulfilled. Because this is my mission. This is why I am here. I am here to take the place of man. Have you considered that? Have you thought about it, that he came to take the place of man? Have you thought about him? Have you thought about him in the way that when a leper came to him, a leper full of leprosy, which was the sign of the most hideous thing you could be, that no one, I mean, these people had to come and say, unclean, unclean, get away from me. Step back, you don't know what I have. That when a leper approached him and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. That this man, this pure man, who if you touch this man, would be unclean, reached out and didn't say, be clean, but he reached out and touched him. And said, I am willing, be clean. Have you considered that? Have you considered that is God, what God is like? That God is not saying, "I, you can't come near me." But he has come to reach out and touch you. And as it were, take upon himself all that leprosy and all that uncleanness. To make you clean? Have you considered that? Have you considered him in doing that? Have you thought about it in that way? Have you considered him who looked upon the crowds who followed him, and as he was preaching, had compassion on them and looked upon them as people who were like sheep without a shepherd? And so when they would tarry long, he would stay with them and he would not send them away. But he said to his own disciples, give them something to eat. When they would have sent them away, he said, give them something to eat. When they said, we have nothing to give them. And he said, go and look. Bring me what you have. That he looked to God and he blessed them and he fed those people because he had compassion on them for being with them. Have you considered him in that way? Have you thought about him in that way? Have you considered him in this way? That when there was a man who was filled with demons, a legion of demons, a legion, a Roman legion with 6,000 men, and he said, I have a legion of demons in me. That when the man saw him from afar out, that Jesus didn't run away from him, but Jesus the whole time was saying to that man, come out of him. And that Jesus, in throwing these demons out of him, put this man in his right mind and clothed him because he was out running around hurting himself and running naked through the tombs. Have you considered it was this God-man, this one who represents God, who is God, would take pity on a man like this, who didn't say, you know, it's your own fault you're like this. It's because of the things you did, you're like this. But he didn't. He cast all the demons out. Have you considered that? Have you considered that that's the one that you read about? Have you thought about that this is the one that you worshipped? You know, I remember that it was hard for me to think about the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that was some way real. Because I was raised in a Catholic church, and I just remember seeing a man crucified up there, which meant nothing to me. It just meant he was very sorrowful looking. I didn't know anything more than that, that he was just sorrowful looking. Have you considered him as being not one who's just sorrowful, but as being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Have you looked at him that way? And then in looking at him that way, have you considered him on the cross? Have you? Or have you considered him this way? Have you seen him talking to Peter? And when Peter said, you know, I don't want to follow you. I'm sorry. I'm a sinful man. I can't follow you. It's in Luke chapter 5. I can't do it. Do you realize what Jesus said to him? He didn't say, yeah, you know, Peter, you're right. You're too sinful for me. I'm sorry I ever called you. He said, don't be afraid. Follow me. Have you considered him in that way? The one who's not afraid to touch you because of who you are. The one who's not afraid of your sin. The one who will not cast you out because you lack. Have you thought of him that way? Or have you thought of him this way? Here Peter says, Lord, I'll never deny you. I will never leave you. I'll even die for you. And within hours, not within days, not within months, within hours, we find Peter running away, following him from afar, and then denying him three times that he even knew him. And when Jesus said, you know, before the cock crows, you'll have denied me three times. And as Peter was denying the third time, the cock crowed. And in Luke, it talks about, and Peter looked at it, and the Lord looked at Peter. How do you think he looked at him? Do you think he looked at him as saying, I told you so, Peter. You should have known. I don't think he did that. I think he looked at him with such love in his eyes that Peter had to leave. Have you considered that after hanging on the cross for 6 hours, and after having faced the abandonment of his Father for those 3 hours, and it doesn't say that Peter was there at all, but after doing that, have you considered that this God-man sought Peter out to put him right and to restore him? Have you considered that? He knew that Peter, if he would not come to him, that Peter would just dry up and die. So Jesus went first to Peter, because he knew that if he didn't go to him and he didn't restore him, Peter couldn't be restored. Have you considered that? What do you give to this man as a gift? Having considered all that he is and all that he's done, what do you give him as a gift? Well, I know that, you know, the wise men at his birth, they brought gifts to him. One brought frankincense, a nice perfume, a nice incense. It's supposed to symbolize praise. Should we give him praise? Yes, it's becoming, isn't it? Or another one brought him gold, you know, because he was a king. That's a nice gift for a king. You can make a crown out of it. Is that enough? Shall we offer him, say, our wealth so he can make a crown with it? Another one brought him myrrh, which was for his burial, a perfume that would help the body keep. Shall we just mourn his death? But you know, he more than deserves that. What do we give him? What is it that is worth, that he is worth? What can you give him? What is it? There's a hymn in it was written a long time ago. I want to say the 1700s. And it was written by a guy by the name of Isaac Watts. And Isaac Watts considered Jesus Christ in all that he is. He considered him as not just a man, but as this God-man we've talked about. And then he looked, and thinking about him as being the God-man, he considered the life he lived and the life laid down, that he laid down perfectly for his Father. And then he looked at his sacrifice. And then he considered his resurrection. And he wrote this song. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head and his hands and his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I believe if we consider the Lord Jesus Christ rightly and really think about who He is and all the things that He did in the Scriptures that we read about and His going to that terrible cross and suffering death and suffering the judgment of God, not just the physical death, but the judgment of God for us, then one way we could say, Lord, there's nothing I can give You. I have nothing of worth for You. I can look at my riches. I can look at my accomplishments. I can look at all these things. And they're nothing. What can I give You? What is it? What kind of gift would You desire from me? And I think the Lord would say this: I want who You are. I want You just the way You are. I don't want You to change Yourself. I don't want You to try and pretty Yourself up, make Yourself something You're not. I just would like You to come the way You are to me and give Yourself to me. That's what I want. And brothers and sisters, that's all I can think about tonight. We talk about, you know, the purpose of God, and you know, the purpose of God is something we can just talk about. We talk about, you know, pursuing God, and that's, again, that's something we can just talk about. But when we come to face the reality of who He was and what He did, it's something we can't just talk about. To do that is trite. To do that is unbecoming of who He is and what He's done. To just talk about these things, it's nothing. Because these things don't demand talk. These things demand an action on our behalf. There's only two things we can really do. We can either walk away and just say, you know, it doesn't touch me. To me, it's just reading. To me, it's just a legend. It doesn't touch me. And we can do that. We can just reject everything that this man, this God-man, has done. And just say, it's all. There's nothing. Or we can come to Him like He said, like this hymn says. He demands a person who does this, a God who does this, that act of what He did and that reality of who He is demands from us a response that isn't just like Jacob said, if you are with me on my journey and you put clothes on my back and feed me and you bring me back to my home, I'll give you 10%. That's what Jacob said. And he thought he was being quite generous. Or is it that we can say, well, you know, Lord, I'll go to meetings. I will sing praises to You. I'll read my Bible. I'll even tell other people what You've done. You know, even that is just things. Anybody can do that. Even an unbeliever. So what's the gift that he wants? The gift that he wants is you saying to him, here I am. And I want to put it in this sense. In the Pentateuch, when Moses wrote the law, he made provision for slaves. And it's found both in Exodus 21 and I believe Deuteronomy 15. I'm not sure on the Deuteronomy, but I know it's Exodus 21. And he said, if there's a slave who has served, every seventh year you let him go. And you cannot demand anything else of him. You just let him go. He served you 7 years, and that's it. He's no longer yours. But if that slave, in being with you that 7 years, says for some reason, you know something? I don't want to leave. I like it here. Then you take this man or this woman to the gates of the city, and the master will pierce his ear and then put an earring in it, which will say to everybody that this person is a slave for life. Now, in order to be a slave for life, it wasn't just a consideration like, well, gee whiz, there's nothing else to do. Economy's pretty bad. I don't have the schooling to do anything else. I'll just live here. That'll be good enough for me. No, actually it says this. If the slave sees that he has it well, and he has these 7 years to consider the one he's serving, and in those 7 years he comes to the conclusion from the way he's been treated, from the way he's been lorded over, if he comes to the consideration, it's not that I want to work, but he comes to the consideration that I love my master, then he makes that decision. Now, my point is being this. We sing about loving the Lord. We talk about loving the Lord. But when it comes to giving him an offering, what do we give him? There's a little story about a chicken and a pig. And the chicken and the pig are together, and the king has gone out and he's called his subjects and said, I would like breakfast. Are you with me? And the animals say, yeah, we consider that we're with you. And so they say, well, king, what do you want to eat? And the king says, I would like eggs and bacon. And the chicken says, oh, my master, take my eggs. For the pig, it wasn't so easy. Do you understand? Because the chicken could just give things that you could even said were a part of her. You know, well, these were my eggs. I laid them. You know, there's things that are good in, but you know, really, it didn't cost her as much as it would cost the pig. Because it would cost the pig his life. Do you think the pig loved the king that much? to lay down his life. You know, it's not that the Lord is asking you for this offering, because it's a free will offering. You see, when the slave came in the Old Testament times to the door, it wasn't that the master said, "Oh, can't you stay on? You've been such a good servant. Can't you stay with me? Please, stay with me." No, it wasn't that at all. It was the slave's decision. It wasn't coaxed at all. But the thing that moved the slave was what the master had done as his master. Now, have you considered what your master has done for you? Because that determines what we offer to God. That determines what we offer Him. If what Jesus Christ has done and who He is not real to you, how can you make a decision to say, "I will be your servant forever"? You can't. Because you see, this type of offering can only be a response to what you know has been done to you or been done for you. If you don't know something's been done to you or done for you, how can you respond in a way like this? You can't. But if you do see, how can you not respond in such a way? Remember, it's not that you're so powerful I want to serve you. It's because you've treated me so well. When I've been in your house, all I've known is blessing. Yes, I might have taken a stripe as a slave from you. I might have been disciplined in a way, this way or that way, but never out of harshness or meanness. Nothing like that. Only in a way that it would, so I knew that what I had done was wrong. Or because of something deserved, only in a disciplining way, a training way. Other than that, I've only known provision for myself and kindness, loving kindness from my master. So tonight I ask you, have you considered Jesus Christ? And now I want to go beyond just what you've read in the Bible. What has been your experience of Jesus Christ? What has been the experience in your life? Have you experienced His mercy? Have you experienced His provision? You know, sometimes we don't even think of what we've considered or what the Lord has done for us or His kindness for us. You know, I remember once when I was between teaching jobs. And you know, you hear of the love of God, and I was a Christian at this time for over 20 years. Well, I would take that back. It was close to 20 years. And I was, like I said, I was between teaching jobs. And my wife and I had one child and one child on the way. And we had no insurance. And my in-laws were nice enough to let us live with them for that while because I wasn't making enough money. You know, it's tough when you're over 30 and you're living with your in-laws and you're not making a whole bunch of money. But what happened was I got this one job And it was, I called it the job from hell. It was the provision of God, but it was a lousy job as far as I was concerned. I got to teach 14 kids in the afternoon class who were behavior problems, who had got kicked out of school. And I had them for 3 hours. And I had to teach them everything. Math, history, writing. It's a wonderful job in some ways, but I looked at it as a job from hell. But what happened was I was only working 20 hours. But the 20 hours did this. It allowed me to have insurance. And something really strange happened. You know, when you get insured, a company can pick you up and they can deny coverage for pre-existing conditions. For example, let's say that I had had cancer when I got insured. Well, the company would cover me for my regular medical stuff, but when it came to treatment for cancer, they wouldn't cover me because that would be a pre-existing condition. Okay? Well, my wife was pregnant, and the insurance company took that pre-existing condition, and they paid for our prenatal care and things like that. But I hated my job. And there was another guy who had the morning job. He had about 16 kids that got kicked out, and he had them in the morning. And he was a Christian also. And we both hated our job. And I would come as he was leaving, and sometimes we would pray together. And our prayers would seem something like, it would go something like this. Oh God, please get us out of here. This can't be the right place for us. Make it go by fast. And then this brother said something. He said, what if God has some purpose in us being here? What a dreadful thought. Now, I like kids, you know, but this was just a dreadful thought. And so we began to pray, and I have to admit that this brother took the lead. I was dragging my feet. But after weeks of praying, finally I was coming to the place of saying, you know, Lord, if there is some purpose for us being here, then don't let us get out of this until what you want to accomplish is done. That sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? But it was a real prayer. And then I got that job just after Thanksgiving. And my second daughter was born in March of that year. And my second daughter was born premature. And one night my wife just started bleeding profusely. And so we took her to the hospital. And it was funny because the baby wasn't moving a lot in the pregnancy, so we were kind of wondering. We're supposed to go in the next Monday for a checkup where they're going to try and turn the baby and do things like that, whatever those kind of doctors do. And we got to the hospital, which was close by. It was only 2 or 3 miles away. And the insurance company said, you can't go to that hospital. And I felt like saying, why not? It's so close. Come on, my wife's bleeding. Give us a break. And so they put us in they put her in an ambulance. I had to follow the ambulance. And now it's about 2 or 3 in the morning. And they drove her. We went about 20 miles. And the hospital we went to happened to be a children's hospital. Children's Hospital of Orange County. So it was specialized in children. And when we got there, it just happened that the chief of the neonatal department of the hospital was on duty. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, he's on duty. And they had another specialist who happened to be on duty at that time, was an ultrasound person to find out, you know, what's going on. And then they had this anesthesiologist who was so gentle with my wife and really kept her calm. And they had to take the baby out as an emergency. And from that, what had happened was the baby, my daughter, had been bleeding internally. And we don't know how long, but she had been bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. And it's amazing, if she would have been a boy, they said she would have died. So that says something about you ladies, you're fighters. But was very weak. She was really small, about 4 pounds. And they took her to one of those special care ICU kind of things. And she had all sorts of tubes and stuff in her. And then after that, after about 8 days, she went to a special care nursery. And she was there for about a month. But she's okay. Matter of fact, they thought her adrenal glands would never work again. And last year, we finally took her off the medicine for her adrenal glands because they're working again. So the Lord's done some wonderful things. But I'm saying this to bring this to a point. We would get the bills from the hospital. Okay? I don't know if you've ever seen a hospital bill. You guys ever been in the emergency room or anything like that, and they charge you for this and that and the other thing. Charge you for the tube, they charge you for the needle used, they charge you for this and that and the other thing. And we would get these pages of stuff. And it turned out that just the ICU place that she was in was costing $20,000 a day. That's just to be in that room. That's not counting the little tubes and the medicine they're giving her and stuff like that. And so I remember the first bill I got. You know, and you looked at it and there's this astronomical number. You know, it's just a huge number. One of the big numbers of Google? You know, that's what it looked like to me at Google. You know? And the first thing you think is, oh. And then, you know, if you get your insurance forms, then it says how much you owe. It said zero. You think that sometimes the love of God is just the same. But for me, that made real to me how God cared. And how do you give back for that? How do you give back? The only thing you can do is say, Lord, you've been so kind to me. I will serve you forever. And I think that that's what God wants, period. He just wants us the way we are. In seeing what He's done for us, just to respond. You know what that's called? That's called consecration. You see, sometimes I think, you know, if I was going to say, today we're going to do a message on consecration, we'd start thinking, okay, what do I got to do? What do I have to lay out the things and tell me what I have to do? And I'll make the checklist. But that misses the point. The point isn't what you do. The point isn't what can I do to offer God and those things. That doesn't make it. What makes it is when you understand and see an act of love from God, that you respond to it in the way that says, take me. I can give you nothing else. And it's poor what I have to offer you, but it's yours. And to that, God says, I will take you to the door. And I will mark you as mine forever. This is not just the kind of thing like I'm putting blood on the doorpost and the lintel so that the death angel passes over me. We can settle for that. God will not say, you know, you must have the other. We can settle. And God will say, that's okay. You may settle for that, but you know something? You're missing out on all that I have for you. Or you can go to the door. But it's always your choice. And it's not something that says, well, you know, I'm going to show God how much I love Him, I'm going to the door. It's always a response to what He's done for you. And it's a response to something that you recognize that He's done for you. I hated that job. But that job was the very thing that God chose to show His love to me in a very tangible way. And I pray for you that you will have such an experience so that sometime in your lifetime you can come to the place of saying, Lord, I've seen your love to me. So real. I cannot deny it. And therefore I cannot deny you. May it come to pass in your life. And you might say, well, gee whiz, I haven't had that experience yet. What about me? What am I going to do? You come to the Lord with the little knowledge that you do have, the little experience that you do have, and you say, Lord, even the little I know, I know you're kind, and I know you love me, and I want to give myself as a free will offering to you. And He'll take it. He will not deny you that. Did He deny the leper who said, if you're willing, make me clean? No, He didn't, did He? And He won't deny you either. The whole question is, what do I want to do? That's really the bottom dollar. What do I want to do? What will I do with Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how I thank You for Thy great love for me. How I thank You for Your great love for everybody in this room. And even, Lord, we could go on to say Thy great love for the whole world, for everyone who has lived and is about to live. Lord, we thank You. I thank You. Father, I pray that You would reveal Yourself to us in the way that we can understand, and it can so grip our hearts to move us to give You the gift that You deserve. Oh Lord, this is all we can pray. This is all we can ever ask or hope for. And Lord, I pray that those that are here that, you know, just know so little, Lord, let them know that it's not that they have to have so much or know so much. Let them even know in their own hearts what You even done for them in their little lifetimes. That they can know, Lord, that love. Even as they consider these things tonight, as they consider them even as they go to bed, as they consider even as we go around the table tomorrow and think about these things. Lord, don't let these things pass us by. But Lord, make it so that we come to that place of really seeing, that our eyes would be open to have that experience of Your love to us made so real. Like this hymn writer says, it demands my life, my soul, my all, and that we come and give it to You as that free will offering. Father, forgive me, Lord, where I fall so short, even after that great love You've shown me, how I've often turned my back, even after showing that great love. Forgive me. But thank You. But thank You that You showed me anyway, and that You love me the way I am anyway. Draw me too, Lord, I pray, through Jesus Christ. Amen.